For the last 7 weeks, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And we started off, Our Father in Heaven. Our Father in Heaven. When we get to know Our Father in Heaven, it changes an awful lot. When we get to know what He is like, it changes things. He's not there with a big stick wanting to reprimand us. He's there waiting. We saw, like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, like that father, he's looking, waiting for us to come to him. Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name.
God's name is
worthy of being hallowed. He is great. He is awesome. He is far above, far beyond anything that we know, anything that we understand of him.
Let your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
God's kingdom coming is his will being done. Where his will is done, where his name is honored, that is his kingdom coming. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done perfectly in heaven, and it's our prayer that his will would be done, his kingdom would come more perfectly here. And sometimes we are called to be the answer to that prayer. Sometimes we are here to be the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth. Give us each day our daily bread. It's a prayer that acknowledges our dependence upon God. Our dependence upon God, not just for give me what I need for the next year, not just give me what I need for the next month, not even the next week. Give me today. Give me each day my daily bread. It's that we maintain a daily relationship with God. We don't just come to him once in a blue moon, just on the rare occasion that we need something, but daily, let us come to him. Forgive us our sins. How often do we fall short of the standards that God expects from us? How often do we not come to him when we need something? How often do we not act as his hands and feet? How often do we not honor his name? Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's incumbent upon us to forgive others. Whatever wrong they've done to us, we must forgive, because we need forgiving just as much as they need forgiving. And if we are unable to forgive, we close ourselves off to be able to receive God's grace in the measure that we should. But by forgiving, we're extending God's grace. The grace that we receive, we pass on. Lead us not into temptation. God, give me strength through the trials. Give me strength through the tests that come my way. Take away my love of things that would draw me away from you. Deliver us from the evil one. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It manifests sometimes in flesh and blood, in people that we think, I would like to give them what for? Our battle is not against flesh and blood,
but it's against the evil one.
Against principalities and powers in the unseen realm. And we can pray with confidence,
because yours is the kingdom
and the power and the glory. There is no power, there is no kingdom, there is no glory that compares
with the one to whom we pray.
And it's not a kingdom, and it's not a power, and it's not a glory that lasts for a short time, but it lasts forever and ever. Lift up your eyes beyond the here and now. Lift up your eyes beyond the troubles that we have now and see the one whose kingdom lasts forever. We pray from a position of confidence. We pray from a position of certainty. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let it be. Let it come to pass. Let it be as we've declared it. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth, that your word is life. Lord, we thank you that you taught us how to pray. You gave us a pattern to follow, to keep our minds fixed not just on ourselves, but to open our minds up to the wonder of who you are, to what still is yet to be done in the world, and for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, we praise you. We give you thanks. Lord, as we continue to look at your word this morning, would you speak to us? Would you challenge us? Would you help us to grow into the image of Christ? Amen. Amen. I had originally intended that once we got to the end of that prayer, that would be the end of the series and we'd move on to something else. But having finished last week and getting to that end point, I was just like, I don't quite feel I can move on yet, but I'm not sure where to go. Where do we go from here? The disciples said, teach us to pray. On the hillside in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, when you pray, say, and we have the two different accounts of what's known as the Lord's Prayer. And we have a slightly hybrid model of the two that we've put together and have been using in the church for centuries. Where do we go from here? And I think it was Thursday morning. I was listening to scripture, just plain, and I got to a verse and it hit me. This is where we go. So we'll get to that verse in a minute. But I really wanted just to recap on why we do what we do. We haven't talked about these slides for a while. We spent quite a while, was it a year or more ago now, talking about becoming a community that knows God. We talked about spiritual practices, the practice of scripture, the importance of scripture, that we need to stay true to what scripture says. We spend a lot of time on a Sunday morning looking at scripture and what scripture says, but it's not enough for you to sit here on a Sunday morning and just listen to me, because there's a possibility that I will say something that doesn't line up perfectly with scripture. It's not my intention, but we all need to study the scriptures for ourselves. We need to be grounded in the scriptures. We talked about community. We need to be a community of people. How do we become a community? We spend time in community. That feels like a slightly weak sentence there. A community of love and depth through the practice of community. But you get the sense that we need to spend time together to build relationships, to build our love and depth of relationship in community. That's why we have our lunches every month. That's why we have time afterwards, just on a Sunday morning, just to spend time together, talking, praying, being with each other. We spoke about the importance of fasting, denying ourselves, so that we can hear above all the clamor, that we can deny our own wants and live the way of Jesus. We've spoken about the importance of rest. We live in a frenetic world. We need to take time to stop, to Sabbath. We spoke about service and, to a lesser extent, witness, that we serve other people, that we are hospitable, that we do things that are not just for our needs, but we express the love of Jesus, the love of God to other people. We spoke about being a community of communion with God through prayer. Prayer isn't me just coming before God, reciting the Lord's Prayer, and then getting on with my day, but it's spending time with God. Often in solitude. It's important that we spend time in solitude to shut out the noise of the world around us. And it's important that we are people who are generous, that we become more generous. Generous with our time, generous with our words, generous with our resources, with our finances. That we are content with what we have, not grasping for more, that we are able to give away. But it's the top one on the slide that we've been focusing on recently, the importance of prayer. We have more to learn in all of these. And Jesus taught, this is how you should pray. When you pray, say, Our Father.
But there's more to that. Let's go to Luke chapter 11 and we'll read that. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
It's good that we know the template. It's good that we know the structure of prayer. But how do we use it?
There was a word, as I was reading through this, preparing,
and the word that stuck out to me on this passage was the word audacity.
In this is the latest New International Version translation.
And the word that I remember from when I was about yay high was, because of his importunity.
It's not a word that we tend to use very much.
Because of his audacity. The Greek word there,
anadia or something like that,
it means shamelessness, without
shame,
impotence. It's the
kind of being rude
and not showing respect where perhaps you might think you ought to. Because of your audacity, because you've got no shame in asking and coming again and again. I mean, how would you feel if I rocked up at your house at about 11 o'clock at night, hammering the door down? You think, I'll just ignore him, he'll go away. Hammering on the door. It's like, oh, for crying out loud, who is it at this time of night? Hammering on the door, and it's getting louder. It's like, are you in there? Tell you what, I'll give him a phone. Phone you, and then your phone starts ringing and hammering the door. I'm like, oh, Chris, what is it? Someone's come to visit me. Can I have some food, please? Like, oh, for crying out loud, mate, I'm in bed. Go to bed. Like, yeah, but I've got a friend here who's just arrived. I've got nothing to give him. Can you come down and answer the door and give me some food? Like, oh, I'm not going to get any peace until he goes away, am I? Trudge downstairs. Have some food. Goodbye. See you again, probably sometime. Leave me alone. Because of my insistence, because of the fact that I wouldn't give up until I'd got what I came for, I got what I came for. If you keep your finger in Luke chapter 11, but go over to Luke chapter 18. And this was what I read. This was what I was listening to on Thursday morning. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Why did Jesus give them the parable? Verse 1. To show them they should always pray and not give up.
Sometimes we pray about something and nothing happens. Oh, maybe it wasn't meant to be.
Maybe that's not God's will. They should always pray and not give up.
Maybe it's not the right thing. I don't really need it after all. It would be nice, but
I'll leave it. They should always pray and not give up.
Maybe it's just never going to be. It's not going to happen. It's not meant to be. As much as I want it to happen, maybe it's just not going to be.
They should always pray and not give up.
If I came and timidly knocked on your door, thinking, someone's arrived, I've got no food, what am I going to do? No answer here.
Oh well,
I guess I'm just going to have to do without.
They're just going to have to go hungry.
Whoever asks
receives.
Whoever knocks, the door is open to them. There's a danger when we read this parable that we think that God is like the judge. A just judge does what is right, does it on time, does it because it is the law, it is what is coming. This judge was not like that. He neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And he wasn't worried about giving this widow justice. But she persisted. And she persisted. And she persisted. And she persisted and persisted and persisted until he got so fed up. He thought, this is going to drive me nuts. And if I don't give her justice, something's going to happen to me. God is not like that judge. Flick back to chapter 11, verse 13. It says, which of you fathers, verse 11, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake, or for an egg gives him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts, even if you are not perfectly in the image of Christ as you were designed to be, if you are evil, sinful, wretched human being that you are, if in that state you know how to give good gifts to your children, if you are like that, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If you are evil, yet it's an illustration of how much God wants to give us good things. This unjust judge, evil, how much more is God willing to answer, wanting to answer? How much more is your Father in heaven willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Before we started on this series on prayer, we
were looking at the Holy Spirit.
What are the fruit of the Holy Spirit? What does that look like in our lives?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit?
We spent some time talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
The ability to speak in tongues, pray in tongues.
The ability to prophesy.
Words of knowledge about situations that you wouldn't otherwise know. The Holy Spirit can reveal that. Wisdom and understanding. How on earth could you understand that and put those together and come up with, but you were right.
The Holy Spirit.
The ability to do miracles.
The ability to heal people. All gifts of the Holy Spirit.
How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit
to those who ask him?
To those who persist in asking.
Let us not be people who feel that God's put something on our hearts, and then we say, well, I prayed it once and it hasn't happened. Persist.
Are there family members who don't yet know Jesus?
Persist.
Are there work colleagues who don't yet know Jesus?
Persist in praying.
Are there situations that are unjust?
Persist in praying.
Are there situations that you see, God, there's something going on here and I don't know what it is, but Lord, would you
persist in praying? Persist in praying.
Persist in coming to the Father and saying, Father, I believe that this is in line with your will. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name,
The Father will do it.
Are we praying? We talked those things we looked at a minute ago about
knowing Jesus, fasting, spending time in quiet and solitude, praying, things that help us get to know God and His will and His way, that we might pray in line with His will. Persist in prayer.
If we go back to Luke 18, and I tell you, verse 8, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However,
when the Son of Man comes,
will he find faith on the earth?
Before we did this, did our series on the Holy Spirit, we did a series on faith
through February and April, and we were talking about
faith and having confidence
that God will do what he said.
Will he find faith? Will he find people who have confidence in him? Will he find people who have so much confidence in God that they are willing to persist in prayer, that they will keep praying and keep praying and keep knocking on heaven's door, as it were, and saying, God, this, I'm bringing this to you again. God, this situation again. God, will you do something about this situation? God, will you move in this situation?
Will he find people who have faith on the earth? Hebrews 11, verse 6.
Without faith, it is impossible
to please God.
God sometimes answers right away. Sometimes
he doesn't. We pray about situations, and
even now, just thinking about situations in the nation, and there was the parable of the wheat and the tares. Do you remember that? Where the farmer sows good seed in the soil, but then during the night, an enemy comes and sows bad seed. And the good and bad grow up together. But the workers say, what should we do? Should we go and pull out all the bad now? And he says, no, don't do that. You'll damage the good. But at the end of the age, when the harvest is gathered in, they'll be separated out. And sometimes we're praying, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. There's these bad situations that God says, that one can wait. That one can wait. I'm still working. I'm still powerful in spite of that situation.
Keep praying, regardless of what you see. John 16.
In that day, you will no longer ask me for anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
That was a promise of Jesus.
Ask and you will receive. Ask and you will receive.
Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Do I believe in what I'm talking to God about?
Do I have faith? It might be a good thing that we're praying about, but is it just words? Or do I feel it? Do I have faith?
Maybe you're praying something and you think, Lord, I know these are the right words for me to be praying. This is the right thing for me to be asking you for, but I don't feel it.
God, would you grant me faith? Maybe that should be our prayer. God, grant me faith for this thing so that I can pray it with confidence that when you come, you would find faith in my heart and that you would be able to answer and that I would know the joy of seeing that come to pass. Sometimes we need a sense of urgency in our prayer. Sometimes not. Sometimes we know it's a done deal. I can rest knowing that God has got it sorted, that it's in his hands, he's taking care of it, and he drops that sense of faith into your heart. It's done. But sometimes we need to renew our sense of urgency, our sense of fervor in prayer. That we would pray like it all depends on God. Like there's nothing but our prayer that is going to make this happen. And the more we pray, let us not get to the danger of thinking that our prayer is the only key. That if it doesn't happen, it wasn't because we didn't pray enough. There is a danger there if you let the pendulum swing too far. But we should be expressing our desire and our faith in God in the way we pray. Jesus gave the disciples the parable of the persistent widow to remind them to pray and keep on praying. We need to pray and keep on praying. Let's never give up. As we've done for the last few weeks, shall we finish with this prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.